This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Hello and welcome to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. My goodness, it has been a long and crazy week. I don't know if anyone else is feeling that, but it was a weird one for sure. It was a nice week, but there's been a lot going on around here. You know, we started off Monday with the eclipse, which at this point feels like a million years ago. Broadcasted outside with the Dave Glover Show and got to witness it. So that was pretty cool. And then it's just been a long week. I've done a lot of interviews for the future of the Rachel Zimmerman Show that I'm very excited to bring you guys coming up. And yeah, on Thursday night, I went to Donnie Bash. So that's Donnybrook Live. And Donnybrook is, of course, a great show that airs on 9 PBS Thursday nights at 7. I watch this show with my boyfriend all the time. And we decided to go to Donnie Bash this year because we wanted to see them do it live. And you know what? It was so fun. It was, first of all, it's just fun to go see a live show, whether it's music, whether it's a play, whatever it is. And this was, you know, a television show being taped live. So it was exciting to see. But it was also just great because Donnybrook is so great for the city. I love that we have a program like this where people from different backgrounds and different opinions can talk about the issues of the day and the things going on in the city of St. Louis and disagree sometimes, you know, pretty majorly, but, you know, everybody always keeps it civil and it ends up being a good discussion in the end. I want to thank Alvin Reed and Charlie Brennan for giving me a shout out on stage before the show. That was really cool. That made me smile because I am a dork when it comes to Donnybrook. Like, I am a big fan of this show. So I was grinning from ear to ear whenever they mentioned me. So that was really, really nice. Yeah, and it was at the beautiful Sheldon Concert Hall, which I've been to quite a few times now. Overall, just an amazing experience. Got to meet Bill McClellan in person, Ray Hartman in person. I got to meet Sarah Fenske, who I'm a big fan of. So that was really, really cool. Enjoyed myself a lot. And I wanted to give a shout out to Brendan, who works for 9 PBS and is a fan. And I wanted to give a shout out to Elisa. Thank you so much for coming up and saying hi and saying that you like the show. It really, really means a lot. And I also, while I'm thanking people, thank you to everyone who downloads the podcast. We have pretty good podcast numbers around here. I'm very proud of that. And it's all thanks to you guys. So yeah, thank you so much. I mentioned the eclipse earlier. I have this story here that I want to talk about. I thought this was so cool and so cute. A teacher from New York promised his students an eclipse party in 1978. And then he kept his promise more than four decades later. all of these people got together on Monday. About 100 of this man's former science students gathered in the driveway of his home in New York to watch the sky grow darker as the moon, you know, went across the sun. And so in 1978, this teacher said to his students, there's going to be an eclipse on April 8th, 2024, and we're going to meet on that day. So make sure you check the local newspapers. I'll put out a call unless there's a better way for people to get a hold of each other in 2024. Very cute. I mean, obviously, there was no way in 1978 we saw the monster that is social media coming. But I mean, it's so great for stuff like that and to connect people in the past. And it's so cool that all of these students remembered that he was putting out this call and everyone got together and got to see it. It was just very heartwarming, very cool. You know, the eclipse is something that we witnessed one in 2017. I was able to be in the path of totality for that. Absolutely breathtaking, really cool stuff. This time I wasn't in the path of totality. I was in downtown St. Louis, but I was on the roof of the Park Pacific building where we broadcast from. Still really cool. I mean, still 10 out of 10 recommend that you check out the eclipse if you have a chance. I know we don't have one coming for a long time, but, you know, it's just really special and everyone can bond over it and have this amazing experience together. Just really nice. Anyway, that's been kind of my week. Eclipse, lots of stuff going on around work. Donnie Bash, oh my gosh, the night of a lifetime. I had such a great time. And, you know, I just really enjoy 9PBS. I'm glad we have that in the city of St. Louis. And we should be really, really grateful to have that. We should also be really grateful to have KMOX. I'm honored to have a show on KMOX. I still can't believe it. Sometimes I hear the liners play where it's like, you're listening to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. And I just have to pinch myself. It's so cool. So thank you guys for listening. When we come back, I'm going to talk to my buddy Braxton Payne. He's a political consultant. We'll talk a little bit of politics and then we'll have some fun. You're listening to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
All right, welcome back to the Rachel Zimmerman Show. I'm really happy to welcome my friend Braxton Payne onto the program for the first time ever. What's up, Braxton?
Hi, Rachel. Good to be here.
I'm so glad that you wanted to come in today. You've been a friend of the DGS for a long time, and now I want you to be a friend of the Rachel Zimmerman Show.
Yeah.
And just kind of contribute from time to time. If people have heard him on the Dave Glover Show and Hancock and Kelly and all these other programs on KMOX and Fox 2, Braxton is a political consultant, and I wanted to start out by talking a little bit of politics. Mm-hmm. So we talk all the time about how divided the country is, and I think, you know, we have a hard time disputing that. But my question for you is someone who works in city politics, too. Mm-hmm. How divided, because I really don't know, how divided is the city of St. Louis politically?
Yeah, so a couple of things. We are divided, but I think it's more of we're divided now as a country because of the use of social media and the use of, you know, how we can all air our opinions all the time. We've always kind of been divided, but it's always been politics. This has been in, you know, back room. You know, you don't really talk politics. You don't talk about it at the dinner table. Now everyone kind of has an opinion. And it is also taken a lot of pop culture as well. And then in the city of St. Louis, you know, there's often fights between what you would consider the progressive wing of the party, the more Bernie Sanders types, the sometimes even the socialist types of the party, the Democratic Socialists of America, which are as part of the party sometimes. And then you have the more establishment Democrats, which is also, you know, ironically enough, it used to be the South Side, you know, white Democrats, and then it was versus the black Democrats in the North Side. Now you're seeing that. That new coalition of white Democrats and black Democrats are all establishment Democrats or more moderate. And they have formed coalitions at the board to fight against the progressives a lot of times. But one of the things you're seeing in the city of St. Louis, though, too, is we are not that far off politically, even if you're establishment versus progressive.
Okay.
You usually agree with about, I would say, anywhere between 80 to 90%. It's usually just about how you get those things done. And one of those big things that you've seen over the past 5 or 6 years is the use of TIF dollars, the use of tax increment financing to fund developments. That has really been the biggest divide at the Board of Aldermen and in city politics. You have the more establishment wing believes that, you know, development is key and important to bringing back a population that has been declining. You know, 800,000, however many years ago, we're around 300,000 now that live in the city of St. Louis, but also revitalizing places like downtown. Downtown, as you work here, we sit here right now. It's more of a ghost town in a lot of areas. Mm-hmm. That's not surrounding sports, you know, the Cardinals, the Blues, in City Park. And you see those the way that development. Joe Rohde was a great example of this. Joe Rohde was an alderman in the Central West End for 20 plus years. And you saw the expansion of BJC Hospital, one tower away, or exactly what it's called right there on Kings Highway. He was, you know, he was one of the main reasons that all happened. He ended up, you know, retiring before he probably would have lost his primary.
Okay. I want to go back to something you said, which is that we used to keep politics hidden and now it's kind of more in the open. But I'm wondering in your personal life, because in mine, being on the show is kind of a different thing. People talk politics all the time, but we're doing talk radio. Mm-hmm. But just like socializing with people, politics still doesn't really come up. It is that social media component, like you said. Do you think we just feel safer behind a screen?
Oh, yes. One of the things, you know, everyone knows what I do for a living. You know, almost all of my close friends do not affiliate with, you know, one party or the other. They don't really like politics. Oftentimes, I'm sure you get this, Rachel, they'll text me the night before election, you know, what's on my ballot? How should I vote on this proposition? Where do I go vote? Those are most of my friends is the night before election. And so, like, a lot of times...
As if you didn't have anything else to
exactly.
do the night before the election.
As long as they vote, I don't really care. One of the things that I always like to say is, like, you know, I have the fire pit chats with my friends. And, you know, they all know what I do, especially my friends' parents. They always like to sometimes, you know, prod me if they're Republicans or, you know, prod me if they're, you know, city Democrats but don't believe in the progressive wing. So they'll kind of poke at me just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I think after we have these, I call them fire pit talks, is we come out of it usually agreeing on most things, and we might have one or two things that is, you know, outside of what we maybe agree with, but we can see each other's opinion and why we view it that way. And then that's what you don't get on social media. So one of the things on social media is you first off, the tone is right. is non-existent. You can't have a civil conversation when you're, I mean, even simple things as, you know, punctuation marks. Like if I say okay with a period after that, I think, you know, if somebody texts that to me, I think you're mad at me.
Right.
So therefore, like even like, but that's how some generations, that's how they talk and that's how they text. So so you don't get that conversation. But you also don't get the compromise on social media because you every time what you're trying to do on social media is you're trying to prove a point. You're not trying to, you know, persuade yourself to have a different point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be on Twitter a lot and I would argue with Republicans and a lot of city Democrats, too. And, you know, and it was kind of more of a sport for me. But I was never rude, but I would always just argue policy and things like that. I stopped doing that a couple years ago just for my own mental health. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you it's been quite a change of perspective. And I think it's also been really good for my job because most voters are not Twitter users. You know, people
right.
on Twitter often already have their mind made up of who they're going to vote for, what they're going to vote for. So understanding that how do I communicate to voters that, like I said, will text me the night before Election Day or that are just tuning in to big national elections, you know, 1 or 2 months before, you know, we have this presidential race that it's consumed most of the airways already. But there's just as important races down the ballot. And I think you saw that in April with a lot of these school board races and how important those were for a lot of people. And a lot more people voted than I anticipated.
Since we're talking about social media, how do you feel about the fact that Meta has been, they announced back in March, I think, that they were going to start like suppressing political talk or political ads and stuff that was not going to be at the forefront of your feed on Instagram and Facebook. Mm-hmm. And now all these political influencers are coming out and saying like, please put it back up there. This is my livelihood. I'm just wondering how you feel about that, doing what you do, but also feeling the way you feel about the social media discourse.
Yeah. So I've spent, each election cycle anywhere, you know, upwards of $1 million in ads on social media.
Wow.
For political candidates and causes and nonprofit groups that are just trying to turn out the vote. So I'm very familiar with the process that Meta has, and it's become more and more difficult to place ads. So that's something I can understand a lot of these influencers, though, too. If it is their livelihoods, you know, they need to. I mean, if they don't get enough views, they're not going to make as much money. So that's really important to them. But I always say this to especially my clients is Facebook and Twitter and Instagram are not or X is not a social media platform as it is so much a business. They're in it to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are not going to their platform and spending time on it because they don't like the content that they see, they're going to stop going on that. And then therefore, they cannot sell ads. So we often think, and it's up to Congress to legislate this and figure out, is Facebook like a public utility where it should be regulated and all those things like that? Or is it a business and we have to leave it alone? I know when Elon Musk bought Twitter, now X, that was a big topic of conversation. It's like, oh, we all thought we owned it as a social media platform, as the general public. But at the end of the day, they want to make money for their shareholders, for their employees. And that is what Facebook and Meta and Instagram and all those TikTok is what they're all. They're not so much social media platforms. We have to think of them as a business. And if people do not come to their site, they cannot sell ads.
So let's zoom out a little bit and talk about 2024. You were mentioning that a lot of your friends are apolitical. They don't mm-hmm. pay that much attention. Do you think that apathy is going to be a major issue in 2024?
I think that is one of the driving issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, favorability ratings, you'll see the polls. And first off, never look at national polls. Those do not matter. It's the swing state polls. And I always look at intensity to vote. So a lot of times pollsters, which we also do a lot of polling as well, you know, here regionally, the state, nationally, is the intensity for someone to go vote for somebody. So do they like that person? Are they likely to follow them on social media? That's also a huge component. Are they willing to talk to their friends? Some of the questions I've asked in polling is, would you be willing to talk to 5 friends about voting for X candidate or X cause?
Mm.
And those things, if they're not willing to do that, then oftentimes you get the apathy vote. So a lot of times either if it's raining that day or they have a childcare issue, they're not going to make it a priority to vote. That's one thing that Democrats have really focused on, usually traditionally in presidential elections, you know, we have a higher turnout. But Democrats have always struggled to turn out a lot of their base, which is younger voters mainly. And traditionally, minorities, that changed with Barack Obama. That hasn't been so much of a focus for the Democratic Party. But now you're seeing the Republicans have that same type of problem, because Donald Trump had a lot of what most consider low information voters. This is no knock on Trump supporters. It's just how we kind of classify
them.
That's what
the data shows.
Yes. It's just they don't read as much about politics. You know, they maybe have lower education levels. Trump pulled those people in 2016, and he's continued to do it. But you're seeing in these off election years that they're not showing up to vote unless Trump's at the top of the ballot. So the Republicans have what they're focusing on in 2024 is making sure that, you know, Trump gets those votes, but also those down ballot. They don't just vote for Trump and then leave the rest of the ballot blank, that they continue down to those congressional and Senate races, because this next Senate, you know, who controls the Senate after 2024? We could have Joe Biden or Trump in the White House and the other party control the Senate. So that's going to be a real focus of both of the parties.
So speaking of Donald Trump, you've said on the radio many times that Democrats love to fall in love with their candidate, but we haven't really had that in a while. It feels like the Republicans are very much in love with Donald Trump. If you could build a candidate, what is it that you're looking for in a Democratic candidate that you think we could have that kind of passion for that the GOP has for Trump?
Yeah. So one of the things that we saw in 2016 and to a certain extent in 2020 is we wanted a candidate of stability. Hillary Clinton galvanized a lot of people. You either loved her or you hated her. I mean, she was the first political rally I went to at McClure North High School with Bill Clinton and Chelsea Clinton in 2016. And that's how I fell in love with politics. Mm. So she motivated me to get involved. But she did the exact opposite for a lot of people. But a lot of people loved Barack Obama, so they wanted to see that stability continue into 2016. Then you move to 2020, and we had Donald Trump for 4 years. And Democrats, we all loved Uncle Joe. We still a lot of people do. But he was the stability choice. So we chose that. So now we come into this year, and you look at Joe Biden, once again, stability. We just don't want Trump again. Okay, we're going to pick a stability candidate. That's fine. But moving forward, the Democratic Party has to focus on, first off, the next generation. You're seeing a lot of that with Pete Buttigieg, Gavin Newsom. But you notice that those two people I just mentioned are two white men. So those are the people that are right now. I have the most fervor within the Democratic Party, but that's going to change. The Democrats haven't nominated, you know, they nominated Hillary Clinton in 2016. But I think a female president, that would be somebody that people could fall in love with, especially post Roe v. Wade. That's something we often talk about that. But it's not so much about the identity politics, too. It's about the passion that you have that you can fight for the Democratic principles, which is, you know, if you fight for, you know, against Roe v. Wade, and you also fight against, you know, all the things that we care about, which is making sure, you know, if you're able to pick yourself up by your bootstraps, that you have a safety net to do so. You know, your union rights is huge. I think that's something that's going to that the Republicans have tried to dabble in recently, as so much as our Senator Josh Hawley. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing a little bit more of a moderate side to the Republican Party with a lot of those things, but still huge base in the Republican Party, or the Democratic Party, excuse me. And then I think you're going to see a lot of depends on who wins this next election. You're going to see so many new candidates that we probably even are not even on our national radar yet.
Okay.
Look at Pete Buttigieg. When he ran for president, he ran for the DNC chair. That's how he became kind of known in Democratic circles. But he was not. I mean, he's a mayor from South Bend, Indiana. I mean, that's not a national stage. It's not a national city. So you're going to I always like to say, yeah, you see Gavin Newsom now, but remember, Ron DeSantis for the Republican Party was going to be the easy front runner, and he fizzled out. You had Kamala Harris, honestly, in 2020. She was one of the leading front runners that was going to get the Democratic nomination, and she fizzled out. So Gavin Newsom, where he's at now, Pete Buttigieg, where he's at now, obviously they're top of the ticket. I do want to say one more thing about Gavin Newsom, the governor from California. He is fundraising for the Democrats like nobody I've ever seen before. I'm on his email list, so obviously I see it, but he's hosting fundraisers for the National Party, for Joe Biden, for, you know, every Senate candidate. He's hosting these things in California, too. That's what Bill Clinton did back in the day. He raised a lot of money for the Democrats. So he provided a lot of goodwill, a lot of good relationships. That's something that Bernie Sanders never did. And I think why a lot of the establishment did not like when he ran in 2016 against Hillary Clinton, did not like when he ran again in 2020. So that's one of the things you really have to pay attention to. That, I mean, money can sway a lot of favors when you're helping other candidates when it's not your own race.
I'm talking to Braxton Payne, political consultant. So you brought up Roe v. Wade. How big of an issue do you see this being in November? I keep seeing chatter that it's slipping from people's minds. It's not at the forefront like it was when it was overturned. What do you think, just doing what you do?
It's massive. Okay. It still continues to be. Yes, it won't be at the forefront. We have a mind span, a memory of, you know, a mouse when it comes to politics. We move on to the next issue very quickly. That's going to be the job of Democrats to remind all the voters. You're seeing it now with a good social media post push from a lot of Democrats. You know, Donald Trump took credit for Roe v. Wade being overturned, and now you see the Arizona law, which is very draconian and even too far for Trump. Even admitted it was too far yesterday. So you're going to see that. It's a matter of Democrats have to tie it to candidates. That's something we've had a problem doing over. You know, many years is tying issues to candidates. You look at a state like Missouri, you know, we defeat right to work, which is a more progressive agenda by 68% of the vote. We pass Medicaid expansion. We raise the minimum wage, but we can't elect a Democratic governor. Those are all core Democratic principles, and we cannot seem to connect those to candidates. So we're going to have to do a better job of that, not only in a Missouri level, but actually, you know, an Illinois level, Southern Illinois level. That's going to be something that's really important, too. You know, Southern Illinois used to be a stronghold for Democrats. It's slipping away, just like a lot of rural communities have for Democrats. But you see places like Arizona, and you're going to see places like Kentucky. Kentucky has a Democratic governor, and he's fighting it back against every time the Republicans try to pass something. He threatens it to veto it. It's going to be the job of Democrats to bring it back to the forefront again. But once people are reminded of it, I mean, I'm sure after the Supreme Court, Rachel, you probably got texts. I got texts from people I never even heard of. Mm-hmm. Like, is this how is this going to affect this? How does it affect doctors? I have my wife's a nurse, you know, medical professionals. You know, if we perform abortion care, are we going to jail? There's a lot of questions around it. And that's the problem when the courts do something versus through the legislatures.
All right. That's Braxton Payne. When we come back, we're going to shift gears, talk a little more lighthearted stuff. You're listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Welcome back to The Rachel Zimmerman Show. I'm here with my friend Braxton Payne. Braxton, I know you're always it seems like you're always traveling anyway. You're a well-traveled man. I keep seeing this discourse pop up on the internet. People are talking about reclining the airplane seats. So I actually
saw this yesterday.
I posted this on Twitter the other day. I'm like, are you for or against? And overwhelmingly, my followers, at least, were like, against. You can't do this. This is the worst thing in the world. I'm wondering how you feel.
Yeah, so I never recline my seat unless it's over a 3.5 hour flight.
Okay.
So if it's over 3.5 hours, I feel like that's okay. Because first off, 3.5 hours is a long time on the plane. But usually 3.5 hours is if you'd like to go from St. Louis to San Diego, it's about 3 hours. You know, so that's a long flight. Mm-hmm. So, but also, I think you have to be respectful of who's behind you. So if you have a small child behind you, yeah, you can recline. You know, they don't need as much room. But if it's a full family or, three in a row of full adults, I always try to decline to do that. I've flown a lot overseas and stuff. And even then, I am very particular about when I recline my seat. It's when I am actually going to fall asleep. That's when I recline my seat.
Yeah. So I was always firmly against it. And actually, when I first started the show, I had this article that I was doing, and it was people complaining about things people do on flights. And one of them was also like taking your shoes off. You should never do that. And I was like, oh, yeah, I would never do that under any circumstances. And then I took my first international flight, and it's like, all right, right, I'm on this flight for 13 hours. Am I really not going to take off my shoes? Am I really not going to recline my seat? So my first like super long flight like that, I didn't recline the whole time.
Yeah.
And later my boyfriend was like, that's like a form of self-harm. If you're not at a certain point, if you're not going to lean back and take a nap, like you are hurting yourself. So I've come around to reclining, but I'm totally with you. It's like, it's got to be right when I'm going to fall asleep, and you got to pay attention to the people around you. If someone who's, you know, 6'5" is sitting behind me, I'm probably not going to put
and
the seat
some
back.
Of the best travel hacks, especially like I have when you travel long distances, is compression socks are really important.
Oh, yeah.
So I always change into those. Also hydrate the day before. And especially like if you're hydrated the day before, you don't want to be using the restroom 9 or 10 times, especially if you like to sit in the window. So I always like to hydrate heavily the day before and then just have, you know, a couple, you know, drinks, either alcoholic or water before the flight to kind of calm the nerves if you have any like that. And then also I love to bring like little snacks, but like little pre-packaged snacks. So like I'll do like Ziploc bags of like pretzels, and then, you know, but then I like to go salty sweet, so I'll have a little bit of that, so it kind of makes the time pass a little bit. And then also download Netflix shows. I mean you have to have, I have to have some type of show, but then I have shows that I watch when I fall asleep at home.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So I'll download some of those too, so I don't have to worry about watching them. And then obviously I always have an extra pair of AirPods or some type of wireless something, and mm-hmm. then also hardwired ones just in case the plane has TVs.
The last long flight I took, it was a United flight, and they had Bravo shows, and I was in heaven. I was just like, well, I'm good. I don't need to download anything. I am set.
Last time I flew international, it was a 13 and a half hour flight, and they had 3 seasons of Top Chef. And
there
that's,
you go.
That's all I did, was just sat there, watched Top Chef. It was overnight, so I fell asleep, so that wasn't too bad.
I hope everyone at home is having a good time listening to us two millennials chat here. I have an article. This is millennial phrases that people are sick of, and it's 17 phrases. I unfortunately use quite a few of these. I thought that you and I could keep track of how many of these we use, and whoever, you know, uses the least amount is the least lame between the two of us. So I'll write this down. Braxton, Rachel, here's the scoreboard. The first one is YOLO. Now, I haven't used YOLO in several years.
Yeah, I don't use that one anymore either.
That stands for you only live once, for the folks at home. FOMO is the other one. I do use that from time to time, so I'm going to give myself a point.
Well, also, I have FOMO, so like all the time. So, yes.
1 point for each of us. FOMO is fear of missing out. Particularly, you know, we were talking about social media in the last segment, but that's the kind of thing you get on Instagram and it's like, oh, a couple of my friends are hanging out and I guess my invite got lost in the mail. All right. These are two separate things. Sorry. Bae. I call my friends bae from time to time.
Like, what is, like, just like babe, essentially?
It means before anything else.
Oh. No, I don't even.
So it's kind of like boo or babe or something.
No, well then no.
Okay, Braxton's never even heard of babe. Oh. This is kind of crazy. The next one is on fleek.
No, I've never used that one.
Yeah,
unless it's been like ironically.
Exactly, and ironically doesn't really count. Lit, I use it ironically enough to where it's no longer ironic, so I am going to give myself a point.
Yeah, give me a point on that one.
Adulting.
Yeah, oh, this is a tough one because I do use it a lot. So I still am a volleyball coach for a college, Fompon University here. And some of the things that these kids say, I have to literally Google in like the group chats that they have. I'm like, what does this mean? So I'll Google it. And I'm like, okay, that makes more sense. But yeah.
Speaking of Fontbonne, how are you doing since they announced their closure?
Yeah, it's been really sad. The kids this year, the Fontbonne men's volleyball program, we just wrapped up last weekend. It was a lot of fun. We had a 7.5 hour bus ride home from Michigan.
Wow.
And so they're a good group of boys, and hopefully they'll all stay connected. But our alumni, we have about 30 or 40 volleyball alumni, and we've committed to do something every year. And the kids are having some good opportunities. I do think that Fompon was in bad straits there, and I don't think there was a way to recover. But the way they handled it with WashU buying the property and giving the kids a whole nother year there, most times when a university closes, they close their doors.
Okay.
It's weeks. You know, here you can finish out the semester and you're done. But they're allowing them to go teach out programs at universities all throughout the region, which has been great. Places like Greenville, Westminster, Webster, UMSL, Maryville have all stepped up to, you know, if they have the major, they'll teach out the kids for the same price you're going to pay for Fompon. Or you can stay tuition free for a whole nother year at Fompon if they still have the classes you need.
That's awesome.
Which is rare. So I will say that our leadership there, did the best in a worst case scenario.
Yeah, my mom graduated, got her teaching degree from Fontbonne, so I'm pretty familiar with that campus and stuff. And I was sad whenever I learned about that. You know, you hate to see it happen, but I'm glad that they're, you know, making it a good experience for the people who are still going.
It was a huge part of my life for 15 plus years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been involved in the program, coached for the past three, played for 4 years there, and, you know, continue to be involved in university alumni activities, deeply involved. And so it'll be a weird part when it's gone and there's not a home for me anymore.
All right, back to our millennial quiz. We are currently tied. We each have three lame points because we keep using these millennial phrases. The next one is goals. I still say goals.
Yeah, I do too.
All right, points. I can't even. Just going to give myself the point right now.
I do not.
Okay, Braxton can even.
Yeah.
Slay. I do say slay. I mean, I don't say it like, I'm not like in a serious way going slay, but I will be like slay, so I'll give myself a point.
Yeah, I use that one actually a lot as, you know, kind of more ironically, but it's still worth a point.
Basic. I don't use that in a derogatory way. I usually use it to describe myself. And basic, for those listening at home, if you've never heard it, it's basically like you're basic. You are just one of in the crowd. But it's like, oh, if you're wearing Lululemon or something, you're basic, which I use to describe myself. I have no problem with it, but I will give myself a point.
I definitely use it, and it's usually followed by a curse word, too. So
I can't remember if I'll just give myself an additional point just in case. Okay, squad goals. I've never really used that.
No, I use squat up sometimes.
Squat up.
Yeah.
Sorry, not sorry.
No.
Yeah, I don't really use that either. Extra, giving myself a point. Definitely
no.
Say extra. Savage, I don't use that.
I do.
Okay. So I have 8 points. You have 7 points. Low key, I use that one. Man, I am just like a millennial phrase user over
low
here.
Low key. Yeah, I'll use low key.
Okay. Totes.
No.
I do it. I'm guilty. I have 10 points. I'm so lame. And the last one is throwing shade. Again, I use ironically, but I'll give myself a point.
Yeah, I use throwing shade.
All right. Well, I lose. I have 11 points. Braxton just has 9. So you're cooler than me.
Well, that's not true. I mean, we're still pretty cool, I would say.
I like sometimes I'll try to learn the Gen Z slang.
Oh, my God. Like cap, bet.
Oh yeah.
I still don't really understand how to use it. It's so funny because like I said, on the bus rides, I'll try to learn the cap. I still don't understand. I would love to explain it to you on the radio here, or bet, or sus is another one that use a lot. And I still don't use it in the right way. So I just say them all at once together and then hoping that one of them is correct. And
one of these will apply.
The 18 to 22 year olds find that funny at least. So
that's awesome. All right, Braxton Payne, thank you so much for joining me. I would love to have you back on soon.
Yes, I would love to be back.
To finish out the show, I have Chris Randall, the Director of Community Impact at 21C St. Louis, joining me. Chris, thanks so much for joining the show. It's great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me, Rachel. Good morning.
So we are here to talk about the Mannion Workout of the Day going on April 27th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. To start us out, tell us about the Travis Mannion Foundation.
So the Travis Mannion Foundation is a nationwide nonprofit that was founded by the family of First Lieutenant Travis Mannion. And it is focused on veterans and Gold Star families and inspired civilians working and serving together to instill character, positive character traits into youth and to make a difference and make a change in communities all across the nation.
That's wonderful. And you guys are doing a workout of the day. What can people expect out of the workout of the day?
So for the Mannion Wad, it is a 400-meter run, 29 back squats, and we do that 7 times. And that represents the day that First Lieutenant Travis Mannion gave the ultimate sacrifice on April 29th, 2007. And so we're going to do that 7 times. So we're going to do a 400-meter run, which is basically one lap around our hotel property. And we're going to do the 29 back squats, and we're going to do that 7 times. It's going to be you do it at your own pace. We just get it done. We work together. We have community, and it's an amazing experience. Along with the workout of the day, we also have a ruck. And so for us military and veteran folks, we know that rucking is hiking with a pack on your back. And we are going to walk from here to the 21C Museum Hotel to the arch grounds and back. And so it's going to be a great workout, great time, and we're going to have a great moment remembering and honoring the legacy of First Lieutenant Travis Mangan.
And Chris, how much is the donation to participate in the workout? I'm wondering, there's probably people who are like, I would love to participate, but just physically I can't, but I'd still love to donate. How much does that cost and how do people do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So last day to register to be able to have your t-shirt in time for the workout is April 12th, and it is $35 to register for just a t-shirt and $40 to register to receive the t-shirt and the patch for the ruck. But if you just want to make a donation, we have a link to donation on our calendar site. So if you go to the 21C Museum Hotel website, you go to the calendar, we have on the event page, we have a link to the donation. And we also have a link to donate on our impact page as well. So there's several ways to be able to make a difference. And then if anything, just go to TravisMangan.org, and you can make a donation to the organization there as well.
All right, and you guys are obviously doing this in conjunction with the Locust Street Athletic and Swim Club. Tell us a little more about that for people who are interested.
So the Locust Street Athletic and Swim Club, so our building used to be the regional YMCA that we have now reimagined into this amazing museum hotel property. And so we wanted to keep to the memory and to the spirit of fitness in our building. So we established the Locust Street Athletic and Swim Club in our basement. And we have full workout facilities, strength and cardio. And we still have the original pool with the original YMCA branding. And it's an amazing place to get a great workout. You don't have to be a guest at a hotel. You can come and get a membership. Just to the gym, just to the fitness center. And we also have amazing spa services as well. So come down and check us out.
All right. So the Mangan workout of the day is April 27th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can register at TravisMangan.org. Chris Randall, Director of Community Impact at 21C. Thank you so much for all you do, Chris.
Thank you so much, Rachel.
All right. Have a good one.
You too.
All right, guys. That's it for the Rachel Zimmerman Show this week. I hope you have an amazing weekend. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.